Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another Talking Blues podcast episode. It's tough, man. It's been a really rough day. Obviously, the cup final took place earlier in the day. It's now later in the evening, and you know it's just as devastating as it was before. It's just me today. Peter and Josh, they couldn't handle it. They can't handle it. They're too heartbroken, so it's just me. It'll be a shorter episode today, just a little bit of a recap, rant, devastation. So if you're feeling upset, then you know, welcome aboard, and we'll discuss what happened today, as much as it might be painful to do so. I mean, it was like I was texting Peter during the match, and I was like, damn, this is deja vu, like again. It felt like, what was it, late January, February? I forget when the Carabao Cup final was at this point. It feels like not too long ago anyway. But I was like, damn, this is the same game going, like, same thing. Missed chances during the first 90 minutes are going to come back to bite us. You know, penalty kicks come second best. But it's pens, you know? You can't, you have to blame us not being able to get it done in the first 90 minutes. And that's really, or the first 120 minutes, really, obviously, went to extra time as well. So, I mean, that's really what you got to blame, if you're going to blame anyone. It's just, it's really disappointing now. What is it, four cup finals in a row now lost, four FA Cup finals in a row now lost, six FA Cup finals, only one win of our last six appearances. It's tough, you know, especially with these two last finals. It's so disappointing because we were in the game. It's kind of like, when you have a 50-50 coin toss, because that's basically what penalties are, right? Maybe it's 55-45 sometimes, but it's like you called heads twice and it landed tails both times, and it's like, damn, like that really sucks. So it's not like I can, you know, I see lots of fans getting mad at the players, getting mad at Tuchel, you know, getting mad at Mason Mount. Obviously, he's the big target of today, Pulisic as well, who I think is probably the person who should be more, not that any of these guys should be targeted, but if you are upset at anyone and you have to be upset at someone, it would be Pulisic, who really, you know, missed a couple chances himself, misplaced a couple of passes, especially that one onto Alonso, which he maybe made the better pass, and obviously if Alonso had the better touch, they might have been able to score there. But it, you know, you can't... It, it, penalty shootouts, it's just you can't, it's not something you can just get mad at. It's like soccer in the Euro 2020 final. It's like, you know, what are you going to do? I know people did end up getting mad at him, but those people obviously are a little bit over angrier, just a little bit over passionate in the moment. But it's tough to lose on penalties, man. I can't stand penalties. I know we were having a discussion on here a while ago, actually, about should, you know, penalties still exist. I know a lot of people like penalties. It's tough when it's your team. I do got to say that. I don't mind watching penalty shootouts of other teams. But when it's Chelsea, it's just, it's so tough to watch. And you know, it's heartbreaking to see, you know, Aspie, our captain, you know, one of my favorite players, basically ever since I've started watching Chelsea, he's been, you know, a fixture of it, of the team. And, you know, it's kind of sad that he ends up missing a, you know, a pretty vital penalty in the grand scheme of things. You know, I'm not going to get like too overly upset about the penalty kicks. I want to, like, you know, talk more about the game itself, because in general, we kept, you know, toe to toe with Liverpool. That's kind of what the stats say, what I thought of the game. Obviously, the first 15 minutes, it felt like we, you know, had our heels pressed against the wall. But after that, we kind of, you know, started getting into the game more. And it felt like from like the 15th minute to the 75th minute, we were in control, or like, you know, we were in the game control wise. You know, maybe we had a slight advantage. And then from the 0 to 15 and 75th onwards, it felt like Liverpool were in in the driver's seat throughout that time period. And obviously they ended up winning penalties. In terms of the stats, I mean, two shots on target for both teams. It felt like Liverpool had more chances, but I felt like Chelsea had the better chances, if that, you know, I think anyone who watched the game would agree with me on that. You know, there was a lot of like, oh my God. I mean, Christian Pulisic, how many chances did he have? It was one where he passed to Lukaku instead of when he should have taken it on. I tweeted that out. I was like, why are you not just shoot? There was one, the pass from Reece James. There was another one where he was played in by Mason Mount. It was just like three big chances. And also the one that was played in. So he missed like 3/4 pretty big chances. You know, they weren't gimmies, don't get me wrong. But, you know, 3 or 4 big chances that really could have turned this tide around. Marcus Alonso had a couple chances as well. And really, Lukaku just didn't get into the game. And he was subbed off relatively early. Not super early, but in the grand scheme of things, obviously it went to extra time, so relatively early in that sense. But it felt like he just couldn't do anything against Konate and Van Dijk. And Konate is a hell of a player. I know everyone talks about Van Dijk, but Konate really showed up today big time. And, you know, in the Liverpool games I've watched, I think he's a really solid defender, someone I wish Chelsea might have been able to pick up. But we'll see who we get in the summer, hopefully, if we bring anyone in the summer. You know, it's those missed chances that really killed us throughout this game. You know, Mason Mount, I thought, played well throughout the game. And then obviously he gets unlucky with the penalty. And, you know, it's tough like that. And then you have rival fans making fun of him, you know, saying Mickey Mount, or I saw that. That's like the one that people are saying. It is relatively funny, but, you know, I'm not going to encourage them. Not because of the truth that the joke holds, just the creativeness with the Mickey Mouse, you know, Mickey Mount thing. Okay, I'll give it to the Arsenal supporters there, whoever's coming up with that. But, you know, clever job there. But anyway, you know, I'd say in terms of the players who played well today, I think Mendy had a hell of a game. I think he was able to stay in for penalties. I was worried Tuchel was going to take him off for penalties. I was going to have a heart attack. Reece James, I thought, was solid. Thiago Silva looked solid as always. And obviously, Kovacic ended up playing, which was kind of a surprise to most people. He got taken off in the mid-66th minute, I believe, for N'Golo Kante, who also didn't really look super sharp. But Kovacic kind of looked like he was forced into there and didn't look exactly ready to play. Jorginho had a very good game as well. I believe he had the most passes completed, most dribbles completed, most passes intercepted. I saw a tweet somewhere about that. I haven't like confirmed that, so don't come after me if that's not true. But I don't see why they would lie about that. And, you know, I thought he had a pretty good game from the eye test as well. Alonso actually had a pretty good game. I was reasonably impressed with what he was able to do up against Trent. One thing I will say is this always pisses me off. I hate when he tries to knock the ball around someone and tries to like run around them. I'm like, dude, you don't have the pace to do that. Like, you already don't have the pace to just run normally with the ball at your feet, or, you know, just defending, trying to track back. And you instead are trying to knock the ball around someone and then run the long way around. Like, he's not Gareth Bale in the Copa del Rey. Like, I'm like, come on, man. So that always annoys me. But besides that, he had a very good game. You know, Pulisic, like I mentioned before, just too many chances missed. It's so frustrating because it's the consistency, really, for all these guys. Marcus Alonso, I mentioned. Jorginho, I mentioned. You know, besides Thiago Silva, none of these other guys are just consistent on a day-to-day basis. And Thomas Tuchel mentioned this in his press conference. It's like Man City, Liverpool, those teams are consistent. They have consistent performances. And it's, you know, we just don't have that. We need that level of consistency if we want to challenge for a Premier League title. And it's just some of our players are just not consistent enough. Lukaku being a prime example of that, right? He just didn't put up a great performance today. Not really due to the fault of his own, but, you know, he's got to, you know, try to make an impact of the game somehow. And he just really never got a foot in into it today. And that was really the big problem. And then off the bench, you know, N'Golo Kante came on. I thought he looked a little rusty, which, you know, is fair enough. I thought Ziyech coming on, you know, he just didn't really make an impact in this game. It just didn't really seem like his type of fit. You know, people were screaming for Timo Werner. It turned out that he got injured in warm-ups and wasn't really feeling great about coming in. But, you know, he would have fit much better. And then Aspi coming on, Loftus-Cheek with him coming on and then coming off, a whole weird thing. I'm not even going to get into that. It was for penalties because they brought on Ross Barkley, but still a weird move by Tuchel there. I'm not going to judge, but, I just did judge, obviously, saying it was weird. But yeah, you know, their team was just a little bit too much for us. Luis Diaz is super good. I mean, I never heard of him before he came to Liverpool. But hey, respect to him, you know, a solid player, really, you know, ran us all over today and had a number of very solid chances. Mo Salah obviously went out injured in the first half and he was subbed off for Diego Jota, who ended up scoring the penultimate winning penalty, if that makes sense. That's not even right. Anyway, forget that. I thought Thiago was just controlling us all over the park. And then Jorginho, it felt like, kind of grew into the game and was having a similar impact. And Trent, I thought Trent Alexander-Arnold had a hell of a game as well. I thought defensively, which is something you don't see from him a lot, he put in a very good shift. And I mentioned Konate already. I thought he was excellent as well. But, you know, it's the consistency of these players, right? You know, Salah, he's consistent as it gets. Thiago, he's consistent. You know, Trent, Andy Robertson, Van Dijk, Konate, you know, Henderson, all these guys, they're consistent, right? A lot of these players for Chelsea, you know, Rudiger, you know, up until like a year ago, wasn't always consistent. Marcus Alonso is the opposite of consistent. Pulisic, the opposite of consistent. Lukaku, the opposite of consistent. Mason Mount's consistent. Jorginho's not consistent. Kovacic is consistent when he's on the field, but he's not always on the pitch, so it's tough there. Trevor Chalobah, you know, we don't really know enough yet. Reece James has always been relatively consistent, but, you know, it's just a lot of these players off the bench, right? Timo Werner, not consistent. Kante, even at this point in his career, not consistent. Ziyech, not consistent. Whereas all these players for Liverpool, you know James Milner, Diogo Jota, you know, all Matip, they're all consistent players. You look at Man City, Riyad Mahrez, Phil Foden, you know, Jack Grealish, maybe not, but who else? You know, Kevin De Bruyne, you know, Fernandinho, Ruben Diaz, Cancelo, all these guys are consistent. And it's just Chelsea has we have a lot of players that are good, but they're not great because they're not consistent. That's the thing that Tuchel was discussing in his press conference. Obviously, he didn't say that exactly, but I'm sure that's what he feels. And, you know, that's going to be the big shift of, you know, hopefully turning this team around next season and hopefully making a title push and, you know, deep pushes in the cup again and hopefully winning the cup competition. But, you know, Wembley just seems like a cursed place for us recently. You know, I don't know what it is. It's not fun. You know, it's disappointing. I'm devastated. You know, I didn't want to talk to anyone for like 3 hours after the game. And it's upsetting, but you know, we got to move on. This team, you know, we're still always Chelsea. We're still always going to compete, and I'm excited to see what we do this summer. We have a couple games left in the Premier League, hopefully solidify third place and go into the summer with our new owner, Todd Boehly, and see what happens, and hopefully bring in some reinforcements, bring in players that Tuchel wants to be here. You know, hopefully some of our injured players, Ben Chilwell comes back. And, you know, this team gets a whole lot better. And like I said before, the consistency, hopefully comes back. And, you know, it might be a dark time right now, but there's definitely brighter days ahead. So, you know, I'm excited. I'm always confident going forward. And, you know, I'm always going to back the players who I think deserve the backing. So Mason Mount, you know, I'm not going to jump on his back for that penalty miss. You know, Mason Mount, Reece James, you know, even Kai Havertz to an extent. Obviously, he missed out through injury as well. Those are guys that I'm always going to back based off of what I've seen, unless, of course, things change. But, you know, there's definitely going to be some uncomfortable times in the future. I think certain players like N'Golo Kante, he's going to be a guy who's probably heading out of here soon. Jorginho, maybe even Kovacic. We're really going to have to turn the tide here. You know, from some of these players and move on, which is going to be tough. You know, Aspi as well, Christensen, Rudiger, those guys are already gone. And I think you're going to have to see some of the quote-unquote dead weight, not that you really want to call them dead weight, in like Alonso, maybe Ziyech possibly getting shipped out. Not that he's dead weight, but he's just inconsistent. Werner, you know, even Lukaku. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens this summer. I pray that we actually make moves and we don't just sit there stagnant. Because, you know, always worried about that. And, you know, hopefully we get some of the more youngsters involved. We got Broja out on loan, Connor Gallagher coming back. So I think there's a bright future ahead. And that's basically me just trying to cope with the loss right now. So I'm going to end it before I, you know, start crying here. And so thank you, everyone, for listening to today's episode. Make sure to go follow us on Twitter at Talking Blues Pod. Go follow me at anorin23. Go follow Josh at Josh Solo, it's at Josh Solo 29. Almost messed it up there. He would have been yelling at me if he's here, but luckily he's not. And you know, make sure to give us 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening. And we'll see you all next time. Probably, what day is our game? So we're playing Thursday. So we'll probably talk Thursday after Leicester City. Not on Thursday, but possibly Friday. So there'll be an episode hopefully out around then. Anyway, we'll see you all next time. And, you know, let's all move on. Let's hope everything gets better soon. Up the Chelsea. Let's go. I don't know what I'm let's going about. This is becoming an awkward intro. Peace. Outro. Peace.
80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.